Yeah. Hello, welcome. First about me, I'm Uwe Kleine-König. I'm working for Baylibre as a software developer. I'm also in the PWM subsystem maintainer. If you want to reach me, you find my email address in the kernel, and I'm also available on IRC. Baylibre is a software consultancy headquartered in the south of France. We're approximately 60 engineers there and work in various open source and also closed source projects depending on the customer's needs. The motivation for this talk is that review of new PWM drivers takes quite a long time. This is partly my fault because I take much time to look into these and look they are correct. But also it's always the same things that I explain that a driver should do. And I hope to give some insights what I expect to just reduce the number of iterations that are needed to get a patch in, which helps both the submitter and me as a reviewer. And also this giving a talk here is a good way to get in to find something to talk about. So if you have ideas that you want from the PWM subsystem, I'm interesting, I'm open to hear what you want. Let's talk after the talk. I will be available for that. So quickly, what is a PWM? It's a piece of hardware that emits a periodic square wave signal. The typical use case is to blink or dim LEDs, and the more difficult cases are trigger ADC readout. This is something that colleagues of mine have done to do high-speed readout of data, and also remote controls have a higher level of needs for the timing of the waveform. So, in fact, we have a signal that goes up and down periodically. And it's defined by the period that defines the piece of the waveform that is repeated each time, and we have the time that is called duty cycle, where the signal is up, and we have an offset from an arbitrarily chosen start of the period, and it repeats just like that. The callbacks you have to implement changed since version 6.13. The old way still works, but the abstraction changed a bit. And there are essentially four callbacks that you need to implement. The first is to use the abstract definition of a waveform with these three parameters that I just showed and convert it into a hardware representation that is this void pointer. This is just a chunk of memory provided by the core, but it doesn't do hardware access yet. And then there's the reverse function that uses this hardware representation and calculates it back into the generic form with nanosecond resolution. And we have two functions to write and read this representation into the hardware. This intermediate step of first calculating and then writing into hardware is needed to give a consumer, so a backlight driver or the infrared driver, the opportunity to know beforehand what happens. So with the old API, it wasn't possible to say, if I request a period of, say, 2 milliseconds, do I get 1.8 or 1.7? And for if you want to control a motor that drives a robot, you want to know more exactly what's the outcome of your request. And so you can first iterate via the first two functions and know what's the outcome. And the general rules are for, well, mostly for the first function that converts or that calculates the hardware registers. It's important that all functions do it, or all drivers do it in the same way to have some generic way to work with that, and to give the consumer driver some way to find out the right parameters to find the best match for their wants and what the hardware can provide. And then the rule is to first pick a period and in a down-rounding way. This is arbitrary, but and some drivers in the past used to pick the nearest period that they can do. So if I requested 1.8, I prefer now 1.6 over 1.8, 1.9. This is just to simplify the math involved there. And then after that, pick the duty cycle that is possible with the period, and after that, pick a duty offset. If you if something is requested that is too slow, you need to round up and signal that by returning one in that function. And the general thing that I want you to do is to test with that debug symbol enabled in the kernel configuration, and with the right testing patterns, it is able to catch most errors in these in these requirements. And the for the second function, you have to round up. This is just to have some idempotency. So if I read the contents from the hardware and calculate it into the generic representation, I want that if I do it the other way with the outcome, that I have the exact same register values. So I have, I don't change something just by get the parameters and write it back. A difficulty in that is that the generic representation has some ambiguities. That is, in general, you don't see the start of the period. So I can represent the same waveform signal. So these are identical, but depending on when the period starts, the duty offset changes. So the outcome is the exactly same, but it is still, well, it starts to get relevant if you have more than one signal that you want to, that you use in parallel. And the other signal, the other problem is that if you have a duty cycle of zero, it's all ambiguous. So you can vary, the period is not fixed. You can pick anything longer or anything smaller. And also the duty offset, again, is ambiguous. And the idea is just that you just assume that the period is relevant, and it's usually represented also in hardware, so that's easy. And the overall goal is to present something consistent. It's not always easy to know beforehand what consistent is, but it's something about idempotency and I try to come up with some documentation what I expect, but it's not yet clear. There are not so many drivers yet converted, and so this is a bit in flux yet. And a period of zero in the original in the representation means it's off. This is also a bit different than the old approach, but it's a nice reusage of the parameter, because I don't need a special field for disabling the hardware. Something to improve testing. There is a great open source project, SigRock, that uses cheap hardware and makes it an oscilloscope. I have one here. If you want to have a look after the talk, I will stick around. It looks like that. You just can connect the output of your hardware, and it's connected via USB to your host, and then you can start a measurement, and you can even say this output is a PWM, and you get the parameters shown, and you can play around with the registers and look how it changes. And with that, it's easy to find things like the hardware, or you configure a certain you configure the register somehow, but there's an offset of minus one or so missing in the specification. This is quite nice. And for the PulseView is for checking the output and to control the actual hardware. There is a library with some tools that uses a new character device interface to control the PWM, where you can easily modify or where you feed in the waveform description you want, and you get the hardware programmed accordingly. There is a debugfs file where you can see what the kernel thinks your PWM is programmed to. And I use memtool extensively. This is to access registers without bothering the driver, where you can just assign values to the registers directly. Some of you might know defmem2. Which is has the same purpose, but memtool is a bit nicer API-wise. And when you think you're done with the kernel, with your driver, the important things are testing the corner cases. So use min and max period is a bit annoying, depending what the max period is. If it's several minutes, it's not so feasible. But 0% and 100% relative duty cycle is something that some hardwares fail to do, and so this is important at least to know that there is some problem, and this should be documented. There is a tool, PWM test perf. It was initially done to compare the timing constraints or the timing that the old SysFS control API and the new character device, but it's also it does exactly the pattern that the debug symbol, the PWM debug tests need, so you can effectively test your driver in a good way. And also memtool comes into play here. This is good for testing, changing one configuration to the other. So there are PWMs where it can happen that if you change the generated waveform, where you see one period where it's still the old duty cycle, but already the new period. And this is also, I want that documented. There's currently no need to have a smooth transition, but this is something I want to know during a review. And in general, if you want to have something usable for your, if you want to see something good, also if you only have an LED to debug and not such an oscilloscope board, you want a slow input clock, which simplifies things, where you can see things easier. I think I'll skip to the rest because the time is tight. I just want to hint there is another conference in May in Nice for Embedded. It's a conference that has some tradition already, with interesting people. And my company also is involved in Commit, which is a venture capital company supporting European open source startups, which might be interesting for you. Thanks for your attention.
So you've described very simple, basically single channel PWMs. Now, a state-of-the-art SoC that is designed for example, motor control, actually has a huge state machine and batteries of PWMs and safety circuitry and so on and so forth. Yeah. So how would you best integrate a driver for these complex applications into the Linux kernel? How would you best model that?
I think the question is about if you have several PWMs that have that are used in pairs?
For example, they need to be synchronized and so on and so forth, and then there's safety circuitry or safety inputs so that these go flat and so on. And the question is, at what layer in the software of the kernel would be the best place to put in a module that can do this?
I would like to hear the things you need. I have a few ideas, a few use cases in mind that I want to work on the future. But if you have something that you want to do, I will be outside after the talk. Come to me.
All right. Thanks a lot.